It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Late last week, an administrative law judge ruled that the rerouting project for Enbridge's Line 5 oil and gas pipeline could continue moving forward.
The project would reroute the pipeline around the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Reservation in northern Wisconsin. It is still awaiting final approval by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, which already issued a preliminary approval last year.
The ruling marks the latest in the years-long saga of the effort to reroute the pipeline, as tribal and environmental groups have raised concerns about the impact on surface water and groundwater. Danielle Kading is a WPR reporter based in Superior. Danny, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Rob.
As I mentioned, this is part of a really long legal saga. We've talked many times, Danny, about the latest court challenge. What was the legal challenge in this particular court ruling? What was at issue here?
Yeah, so the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources granted a wetlands and stormwater permits in November of 2024. And then they also granted the certification under the Clean Water Act that shows the project would meet state water quality standards. The Bad River Tribe and environmental groups like Clean Wisconsin and Midwest Environmental Advocates challenged those approvals, and they said that they didn't comply with state law and that more data was needed.
So the ruling says, well, the DNR did comply with these standards, but the judge ordered, I understand, some modifications to the wetlands permit. How significant are those modifications?
Well, my take is that the judge issued those changes to reduce any potential harm from the project. So the changes affect things like monitoring of wetland restoration after construction. They require obtaining other permits. And they also require more work to assess the risk of aquifer breaches at sites where Enbridge plans to install sheet piling. And that's used to reinforce trenches or hold back soil and water where they're installing pipe. And it's important because that installation of sheet piling caused aquifer breaches on Enbridge's Line 3 replacement project in Minnesota. And that released hundreds of millions of gallons of groundwater. So they want to reduce the risk of some similar incident.
If this rerouting project ultimately continues, and all signs seem to point to, yes, that will happen, when could we expect to see it finished and operating?
Well, I think Enbridge has said it would take about a year to build, but it's also under a court order right now to reroute or shut down the pipeline on tribal lands by mid-June. And there's been no ruling on that yet in federal appeals court.
Now, this pipeline carries up to 23 million gallons of oil and gas from Superior to Ontario every day. What are all the environmental concerns along the way? What are some of the things that environmental and tribal groups have brought up at various points of concern here?
Well, yeah, as you may remember, you know, it's going to cross close to 200 waterways and disturb around 101 acres of wetlands. And opponents are very worried about the project not living up to state or tribal water quality standards. You know, the Bad River Tribe is concerned that any potential oil spill could devastate its waters and wild rice beds or make its way into Lake Superior. And they've argued it would increase water temperatures, runoff, and contamination, but Enbridge has disputed that, and the judge said that the tribe failed to show evidence that water quality would be affected.
You talked to Midwest Environmental Advocates about a possible appeal to the ruling, still, I think, waiting for word on that. But with any ruling, it seems like there is that possibility of appeal to another court. What are you watching for there?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not a legal expert or a psychic, so it's clear to me, though, that environmental groups in the tribe intend to use whatever legal means necessary to stop construction of this project. So I think it's likely that we will see some sort of appeal in the coming days to try and put off any kind of construction.
Let's zoom out a little bit here, Danny. This is a pipeline that had been in place, as you mentioned, running across that Bad River Band territory. Take us back to the sequence of events that led to this reroute plan happening in the first place.
Well, if you might recall that the Bad River Tribe sued Enbridge to shut down its Line 5 pipeline on reservation lands. And that was because pipeline easements had expired across roughly a dozen miles of the reservation there. So because of that lawsuit, Enbridge proposed in 2020 to build this 41-mile new segment of Line 5 that would go around the tribe's reservation through Ashland and Iron counties. So that's kind of what kicked it all off, and it's been years of review since then. The DNR has said it's been one of the most studied projects that they've ever reviewed, and it's drawn tens of thousands of comments on its environmental impact statement. 150,000 people submitted comments against the project to the Army Corps of Engineers. So it's just been a very controversial project in Wisconsin.
Danielle Kading, WPR reporter, is with us. We've been talking about the latest on a project to reroute the Line 5 oil and gas pipeline around the reservation of the Lake Superior Band of Chippewa. Turning to some of your other reporting now, Danny, we're hearing you in the news throughout the day about the ice caves at the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. Now, before we get to your visit there, this is like the Brigadoon of natural experiences here. This is something that doesn't happen often, right?
No, it's pretty rare. I mean, the last time that this happened was in 2015, so it's been 11 years since people have been able to hike across the frozen lake to see them.
And that's the key, right? The caves may freeze up all the time, but you have to have enough ice to walk, to hike over to the caves, and that's the tall order. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that and, wind and waves can break up ice along the shore, and that's what they're worried about this week. In fact, the National Park Service has already closed access to the ice caves because of an incoming winter storm today, which could bring winds with it that would break up all that ice along the shore and send it back out into the lake.
Now, I understand you went there yesterday. The first natural phenomenon you observed was lines, lots and lots of people. What was the turnout like there?
Oh, it was crazy. I mean, easily there were thousands of people who came from all over the Midwest to see them. One park official told visitors that they had processed more than 1,200 online payments by 9 a.m. yesterday. And I met people from North Dakota, Southern Minnesota, Wisconsin. Some people from Arizona, Utah, and Mexico were able to make the visit because they happened to be living in the area or visiting the area at just the right time. And so it was a river of people walking out to the ice caves yesterday.
Now, we had some suspense down here, Danny, because we got word from you about those lines. And the question was, would an intrepid WPR reporter actually make it in to see the ice caves? And it sounds like it was a close thing.
I was starting to get very worried because I waited in line for 3 hours along with other people. And, I was at the Bell Town Hall parking lot. They told us if you're beyond this point, you're not going to see them because the last shuttle is leaving here at 3 o'clock. So you're not going to make it. Go to this other location to get a shuttle. So I walked to the other location. Also long lines. I ended up hitching a ride with someone, and if they hadn't been very kind to me and dropped me off at the Myers Beach trailhead, I might not be talking to you about what the ice caves were like yesterday.
Now, hang on. I've never been myself, so I'm hoping you could paint this picture. You get that shuttle ride. You're fortunate, kindness of strangers and all that. But you're not dropped off at the cave, right? There's some ice hiking yet to do.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like some people, they drove for hours, waited for hours, and then they get there and then they still have a 2 to 6 mile hike in front of them. So
why is it two to six? Does it depend on which trailhead you get dropped off at?
Yeah, I mean, there's various points that you can stop at. So you can stop at the first point and there's icy cliffs there that you can look at against the sandstone. Or you can keep going all the way down, and that would be about like a 6 mile round trip, is my understanding.
Round trip, okay.
So, yeah. So it just depends on like how far you're willing to walk. And I think I walked 3 miles round trip yesterday.
Okay. Now we've got some pictures at WPR.org of the ice caves. Give me the Danny Kading version. What did it look like through your eyes after this long experience, not knowing if you're going to even get to see them?
Oh, it was incredible. I mean, I guess I would just like describe it how other people described it. There was the Durheim family from Duluth that was there, and their 11-year-old daughter Maisie said it looked like something out of a fairy tale. Other kids were saying everything was just sparkling. You know, people were like shirtless without jackets because it was so unseasonably warm. And, you know, parents were towing their kids on sleds and the snow was all sugary and the ice was melting and dripping. And it was just, it was beautiful.
I'm going to be a little less romantic here, Danny. Last time this happened, I guess there were estimates that said visits to the ice cave generated up to $12 million in economic activity for the Bayfield area. It's got to be hard for local businesses to predict, right, when these things are going to be accessible. But is there, do you see, like, likely economic impact this time around, even though there's a pretty short window to see the caves?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really good question, Rob, because it depends on, like, what happens with the storm, what happens with the weather later this week. I mean, it's possible that storm could blow out all the ice and maybe it was only open for a day. But if conditions hold, maybe they can have more people coming out by the weekend. I just couldn't tell you at this point.
And if you get another shot at seeing the ice caves, whether it's next week or next year or next decade, would you want to go see them again, Danny?
You know, yes, I would want to see them again, but I will say that seeing them in like 40 degree weather is probably a lot better than going to see them in like 20 or 30 below. So I'm glad that I went when I did.
No argument there. Danny, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Rob.
That's WPR reporter Danielle Kading, based in Superior. We've been talking about the Apostle Islands ice caves opening for the first time in over a decade. You can read more. We got a couple few pictures also at WPR.org. Earlier, we talked about a new ruling that allows rerouting of the Enbridge Line 5 oil and gas pipeline to move forward.